So we're on Daf Samaches Amud Beis, and we said yesterday, just to review the first few lines here on Amud Beis, Avalo Shachacha Mai, meaning according to Rav and Shmuel, what would be the status of a person who knows about Iker Shabbos? In other words, the entity of Shabbos, the prohibition of Shabbos, is he knows about it. He's not like the Tinok Shenishba. And he forgets that today is Shabbos. Is my chayv al kol melachu melacha? It would seem that now every single melacha generates its own chiyuv chatas. So it means we have a triple structure here in the Mishnah, as we discussed yesterday. You know, we have three paragraphs, we called it. We have the case of someone who never knew about Shabbos in his life, right? He's a ger, shenizgadol ben ha'akum, or tinik shenishpa. So he has to bring one carbon for all the Shabbosos that he violated. Then we have the case of someone who once knew about Shabbos, but completely forgot the entity of Shabbos. In his case, we have halacha that each Shabbos is mechalek. And then we finally have a third case of someone who not only remembers, not only learned about Shabbos, but he also remembers about Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that today is Shabbos. You know, he miscalculated in terms of the days of the week. And in that case, we have halacha of melachos hamechalkos. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask the following question. I have a very fine introduction to this question of the Gemara here in the Masifta. I'm going to share it with you. He says, "Im haya tana sover she'eno chayov elachatas achas al kol Shabbos." Right, in a case where consistently from one Shabbos to the next he makes a miscalculation, and therefore, in that case, he would have to bring a chatos for both Shabbosos, right? Because again, there was a continuous miscalculation. Is hayolo la'arev eshnei adinim? Then in the middle category, where it says that he brings a separate chatos for each Shabbos, he should be ma'arev two dinim. He should have had two cases that fit into that middle category where he brings a chatos for each Shabbos. And he would have, number one, Mishio Dea Iker Shabbos V'Shochacha, right? He forgot the whole entity of Shabbos. V'chein, and also, Mi Shio Dea Iker Shabbos. He hasn't forgotten about the entity of Shabbos. El Shochach Shayom Shabbos. V'Osa Melochas Harbe V'Shabbosas Harbe. Which I think means that he continuously and consistently miscalculates Shabbos from one Shabbos to the next. So he's got two Shabbosos or more in which he thought it was either a Friday or a Sunday, and he did many melachas on both Shabbosos. And in such a case, he brings two chatos, one for each Shabbos. Is chayev chatos al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So the Mishnah in the middle case where he's chayev for each Shabbos, a separate chatos, should have combined together both a case of Yodea Iker Shabbos v'Shochacha, as well as a case of Shochach Shayom Shabbos. In both cases, he brings one chatos for each Shabbos. U'mikach shelo irvam, from the fact that the Mishnah did not combine those two cases, mashma, we derive the conclusion, Shedafka im shochach ikar Shabbos, eino chayev elachatas achas al kol Shabbos. Right, the middle case of the Mishnah. Let's just open up again to the Mishnah. The middle case was Yodea ikar Shabbos, which means that he once knew about Shabbos, but he forgot about Shabbos. It doesn't say anything in the Mishnah, in the middle case, about someone who knew that there was a Shabbos. He's very well aware of the entity of Shabbos, but he forgot that today was Shabbos, and he did that consistently on two Shabbosos. So therefore, Yodea Iker Shabbos, if he's well aware of Shabbos, El Sheshachach Shayom Shabbos, is Chayav HaKol Melacha Melacha. Apparently, he'd be Chayav on each Melacha. So it comes out that, as I said before, we have three cases in the Mishnah. One case where one Chatas covers all the various Shabbosos. The second case is where each Shabbos requires its own Chatos. And the third case where each Melacha carries its own Chiyuv Chatos. And yet, it would seem that according to Rav and Shmuel, there are two cases that fit into the middle category, in which you bring one Chatos for each Shabbos. One is Shachach Iker Shabbos, and the other is Shachach Shayom Shabbos. If that be the case, then let's look at the last part of the Mishnah. And the last part of the Mishnah says, Hayodea Shehu Shabbos, the Asa Melachas Harbe, B'Shabbosas Harbe, Chayev Al Kol Melacha Melacha, Lisni Hayodea Iker Shabbos, V'kolshkein ha. In other words, according to Rav and Shmuel, in a case where he remembers Iker Shabbos, but he forgot and miscalculated two Shabbosos in a row, then that becomes a third category. Again, if it was the same category as the middle category, and he would bring only one Chatos for each Shabbos, then the Mishnah in the middle category should have indicated so. And instead, the Mishnah says, Yodea Iker Shabbos, meaning he reminds himself, oh, as a child, I learned about Shabbos. And then he forgets Iker Shabbos, implying that if he has not forgotten the entity of Shabbos, he'd be chayav for every single Melacha. So if that be the case, why in the third category in the Mishnah says, Hayodea Shu Shabbos V'yosem Melachas Harbe. The Mishnah should have said, Hayodea Ikar Shabbos, because according to our calculation, once we get to the third level, right, the first level he doesn't know about Shabbos, the second level he forgot about Shabbos as an entity, and then the third case is where he's aware of Shabbos, he forgot that today's Shabbos, then the Mishnah should have pointed out in that third category, we apply the principle of Melachos Machalkos, and he has to bring a separate Chatos for each Melacha. Is listening, the Mishnah should have said, Hayodea Iker Shabbos. Notice, he forgot that today is Shabbos. And certainly we would have derived the conclusion that if he knows today is Shabbos, but he doesn't know that you're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos, or you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos, certainly it would be chayav for each melacha. So again, you know, yesterday I spoke about this phantom attacker, you know, this anonymous Makshan who is just constantly barraging Rav and Shmuel. And his argument now against Rav and Shmuel is that something doesn't fit over here. Because if you're saying that Shochech Iker Shabbos means he never knew about the entity of Shabbos. And then we get to the second case, Yodea Iker Shabbos, he knows about the entity of Shabbos, means he forgot about Shabbos. And then we get to Yodea Shu Shabbos, means he remembers that it's Shabbos. I mean to say, yeah, just one second, I made a mistake. Hayodea Iker Shabbos. Oh, so here's where the problem is. I just fell into the problem here that the Makshan is raising. Because there are really four cases according to Rav and Shmuel. One case is where he never knew about Shabbos. Second case, he knew about Shabbos and forgot about Shabbos. Third case, he knew about Shabbos, but he miscalculated. And then the fourth case is when he doesn't know which Melacha is also on Shabbos. And the fourth case is codified in the Mishnah in the third level when it says Hayodashu Shabbos. He knows that today is Shabbos, but he forgot the Malachos. And that makes no sense because according to Rav and Shmuel, we don't have to have a case of Yodashu Shabbos. We have to have a case where he didn't realize that today was Shabbos. We're Shochach Shu Shabbos. And that also would generate a Chiyuv Chatos for every single Malacha. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me no? He remembers that it's Shabbos, but he forgot the Malacha. Talk about a case where he forgot that today is Shabbos. And Skolshkein, I would certainly derive from that, if he knows it's Shabbos, that he has to bring a chatos for each malacha. Instead, the Mishnah did something very strange. And it completely omitted the case of a person who knows that it's Shabbos, who knows that there is an entity of Shabbos, but he forgot that today was Shabbos. And if that case, according to Rav and Shmuel, by virtue of pushing it off the ledge, fits into the third category, and he has to bring a chatos for each malacha, then how much more so it goes without saying that if he knows that today is Shabbos, he would have to be chayav for each malacha. Ella, so the Gemara now has to refurbish, so to speak, Rav and Shmuel. Ella Rav and Shmuel, who interpreted the Masnis and the Mishnah in the first klal, that he was Shokheach Iker Shabbos, and therefore he's only Chayav one Chatas in total. It's a case of Kishehikir Ulebasov Shokheach. Now again, how do you fit that into the language of Rav and Shmuel? It says, Rav and Shmuel, Diomei Shravayu Masnisim, Betinok Shenishba, Lebein HaNochrim. You hear? So that's what the Gemara is going to try to work out now. Now the Gemara is saying that the first klal in the Mishnah, where he brings one chatos, and that's it, max one chatos, a Shokhechi Kashabbos, that's a case of someone who knew it was Shabbos. And at the end of the day, I'm sorry, he knew the entity of Shabbos, and at the end of the day, he forgot the entity of Shabbos. So rejecting the original understanding of Rav and Shmuel, that Shokhech Iker Shabbos means Shokhach Meikoro, you know, that he never knew about Shabbos. Ude Rav and Shmuel, now, if that be the case, where does Rav and Shmuel, in the case of Tinok Shenishba, fit in? Nami, Kishehikir Ulevasov Shachach Domi. That case also fits in to Hikir Ulevasov Shachach. Vahochi Itmar. This is how we have to refurbish the words of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, Diami Shavayu. Afilu tinok shenishba bein hanochrim, v'gershen is gayer bein hanochrim, kishehikir ulbasov shachach domi, and chayev. So in other words, Rav and Shmuel agree that the Tana himself, in the first case, had in mind someone who once knew about the entity of Shabbos, but Rav and Shmuel want to point out that there's another case, another scenario in which the same law applies. That just like in the case of someone who forgot Iker Shabbos, he's still chayav one chatas for all the Shabbosos that he violates. So too, someone who never knew about the entity of Shabbos would also be chayav one chatas. So again, the Tana himself, when he formulated this principle in the first case of the Mishnah, he was talking about a mitzius of someone who forgot, although he knew about Shabbos, he forgot the entity of Shabbos. And the Tana of the Mishnah wants to tell you that he only has to bring one chatas for all the violations because he forgot the entity of Shabbos. You know, we're not going to say that he should be chayav chatos for each each Shabbos that he violated. But Rav and Shmuel are adding that even if he never knew about the entity of Shabbos, he would still be chayav one chatos for all the Shabbosos that he violated. We won't say that he's completely potter because he never knew and he was never taught about Shabbos. Then we go on to the second paragraph in the Mishnah, and that's a case of Yodea Iker Shabbos. He hasn't forgotten about the entity of Shabbos, but he miscalculates. And one Shabbos after the other, he miscalculates. Which makes sense, by the way. Once you miscalculate the first Shabbos, you might end up miscalculating the second Shabbos. So in such a case, every Shabbos generates its own Chiyuv Chatos. And then we have the third case in the Mishnah of someone who realizes that today is Shabbos. No error in miscalculation, but he's not aware of the Malachos. And Shagag v'Malachos is Chayv Chatos al kol Malacha u'Malach. So basically, to summarize the entire sugya of Rav and Shmuel, as we make a closure, finito, the Gemara in the Havamina thought that Rav and Shmuel were interpreting the Reisha of the Mishnah. They were just simply saying pshat in the Reisha of the Mishnah. Namely, that the Reisha of the Mishnah is talking about someone like a Tinok who never knew about the entity of Shabbos. He was never taught about Shabbos. And the Gemara points out that that's an untenable position. You cannot suggest that Rav and Shmuel are interpreting the Mishnah. Because in the light of that interpretation, you are going to end up, by virtue of the mathematical sequence, I call it the Chagadya, the domino theory, with an untenable conclusion. Because then you're going to say that the second case in the Mishnah is someone who knew about Shabbos one time in his life, forgot about the entity of Shabbos, and he's going to bring a chatos for every Shabbos that he violated. And then you're going to tell me about someone who miscalculated one Shabbos after the other. Where does that fit in? I mean, that's the law of excluded middle, because if that's going to be a case where he's chayef each malacha, then the Mishnah should have included that in the third category where he's chayef on each malacha. So the Gemara now reinterprets that Rav and Shmuel never meant to interpret the Reisha of the Mishnah, that the Reisha of the Mishnah is referring to the Tinok Shenishba. The Reisha of the Mishnah is talking about someone who forgot the entity of Shabbos, but he once knew about it. He has to bring one chatos. And that's all. You don't say that he has to bring a chatos for each Shabbos. And even, that's Rav's point, even in a case of someone who never learned about Shabbos, the Tinok Shenishba, he also has to bring one chatos. Then we get to the second case of the Mishnah, of someone who's aware of the entity of Shabbos, but he forgets that it's Shabbos, and now each Shabbos generates its own Chiyuv Chatos, until we finally get to the third case where he knows it's Shabbos today, and he forgot the Malachos. So that's the final conclusion in understanding Rav and Shmuel. Alright. Now we move on to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan ben Shimon ben Lachish, the Amri Chavayu, when it says in the Mishnah, Shokheach Iker Shabbos, in the first case of the Mishnah, that he's only chayev one chatos, dafka hikir ulubesov shokach. He once knew about the entity of Shabbos, and he forgot about it. Aval tinok shenishba ben anochrim, v'gershen iskayer ben anochrim potur. Here's where Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan disagree with Rav and Shmuel. They hold that not only was this case of a Tinok Shenishba omitted from the Mishnah, but as a matter of fact, in this case, he doesn't have to bring any chatos. You know, where do you have a shkoga here? Every shogeg requires some sort of element of negligence. You know, he forgot something that he should have remembered. But you can't tell me that someone who never learned something forgot it, and therefore he should be punished with a kapara and a karban. As opposed to someone who learned about Shabbos and now he forgot about Shabbos. He got so involved in life that he forgot about the entity of Shabbos. So he has a shechacha, and the Mishnah says he brings one chatas to atone for all those Shabbosos, but really to atone from that one single forgetfulness that he forgot the entity of Shabbos. So basically, we have a principle in halacha called Ones Rachmona Patre. And that's derived from a parasha in Kitei Tzevel HaNarol Osasa Dover. Ones means someone who cannot in any way be held responsible. And according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the case of Tinuk Shenishba fits into that category of an Ones. So we have three categories. We have Mezid, we have Ones, and in the middle we have Shogeg. In a case of Mezid, assuming that there were Edom and Asra, we're going to give him Misa for violating the Shabbos. In a case of Shogeg, where he forgot what he shouldn't have forgotten, he's going to have to be Miskaper for that Avera of forgetting, and therefore he has to bring a Korban Chatos. But in the third category, of someone who didn't forget, but he was never taught, he was brought up in a Christian monastery, or some sort of a school, and he never heard about Shabbos. Well, he's an onus. You cannot call him a shogeg. Shogeg always entails some element, even the barest minimum element of negligence. Now, it's interesting because if we mention onus here, then the source of the concept of ones, as we said before, is in the Torah, Lanarol Osasa Dover. And Lanarol Osasa Dover means she's not even guilty of a Maisa Avera, and therefore she doesn't need any kapara whatsoever. She was totally a victim. And we're applying that to any case of ones, like this case of a Tinok Shenishpa. The Gemara later on is going to derive Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's halacha from a pasuk. So the Bali HaTosus here, Dibra Maskel Aval Tinok, that's the third to the last Tosus on the Daf, they're very bothered why the Gemara needs to establish Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish based on a Limud Yalfusa when we have the pasuk of Anarol Osasa Dover. So I believe that in the Masifti quotes various Achronim, the Magine Shlomo, and others who try to explain this. My take on it, Lefi Anias Daiti, I wanted to share with you, is that there's a difference between Valanarol Osasa Dovar and this case of Onus in the case of Tinok Shenishba. Because in the case of Lanara Losasa Dovar, it's not even feasible that she could have been aware and avoided this Avera. She was totally victimized. Masha Enkein, in the case of a Tinok Shenishba, from the moment that he got free, we could say that he could have theoretically learned. Again, I'm not giving him a bad mark in terms of, you know, of an element of guilt, but nevertheless, he was not victimized. And if he was not victimized, on his own will, he violated the Shabbos. Theoretically, he could have found out that this was Shabbos. Again, he's not responsible for not knowing about that. He was brought up as a non-Jew. But nevertheless, the very fact that theoretically he could have found out about Shabbos and then avoided this Maisa means that we have to attribute some level of, I wouldn't call it Kavana, but let's call it Yedia, when he did the Maisa of Chil Shabbos. So we could therefore elevate the status of his, let's say, Ktsira, when he cut something on Shabbos, to a Maisa Ktsira. So that's not the onus of Lanarol Osasa Dover. Lanarol Osasa Dover means she's not a Balas Maisa. The Torah says that she didn't do an action. She was totally passive, totally victimized. But if somebody is active and he makes a decision, albeit he's missing information, and perhaps he's not even guilty of any level of responsibility here, or negligence for not being aware of that information. But at the end of the day, he made a decision to do the Maisa. He implemented the action. He was an active implementer, as opposed to Anar al-Sasadavar, and it was a Maisa Ver. In a metaphysical sense, we could say it had some sort of an impact on his soul. And he needs an atonement. Let's see if I can give you a mashal, a ma'adavar domeh. You have a case of an Ashes Ish, and her husband goes out to battle, and he doesn't return. Two Edim come into Bezdin, and they say, we were there, and we witnessed his death. So Bezdin says to this woman, she's allowed to get married. And she goes ahead and gets married. Turns out that these Edim were false witnesses. Bezdin had made a mistake. They relied on these witnesses. And her husband comes back. Very tragic situation. So this is a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Yevamos. So I'm not going to research the Mishnah right now, but she has to bring a Karban Chatas. Now again, she relied on a Heter Bezdin. I don't see in any shape or form why we should hold her responsible. You follow my question? Why does she have to bring a Chatas for a B.S.H.S. Ish B'Shogeg without any element of responsibility whatsoever? She relied on Bezdin. I mean, you don't have to be more religious than the Pope. So the answer must be, I think, that she did an Avera, totally unaware of it, but she did actively decide to do this Avera. She went out in a relationship with another man. And that somehow requires a Kaparas Chatas. Now, here's a case which is sort of in the middle. It's not V'lanar lo sasa dover, where she's victimized. But on the other hand, there was no active Maisa Avera. And my question is, would there be a Chatas? Here's the case. A woman, a married woman, takes a neder. And unbeknown to her, her husband was mefer the neder. And she violated the neder. What would you say in that case? Her violation of the neder was totally active. It's not like the case of Elnar lo sasa dover. And l'chora, if in the case where a woman relied on Bezdin, and she had a heter Bezdin, and she needs a kapara, and she's chayevus b'karbon, then how much more so this woman, who in her mind was violating the Avera deliberately? She got lucky. You know, as the cards fell, she got lucky because her husband, unbeknown to her, was made for the nether. And it could be that somebody notified her that her husband was very happy with the nether and validated the nether, which is not the case, but let's say she was misinformed and she went ahead and violated the nether. How much more so she should need a kapara? And the answer is that kapara in karbon is generated by a maisa avera. She never did a maisa avera. What does that mean, she never did a maisa avera? She violated the neder. But the answer is there was no neder. So let's compare it to a case where a person thought that this was trefa meat and he went ahead and he ate it deliberately. Turned out that there was a hechsher on the meat. You know, there was a shochet that shechted this animal, and she ate basar kosher. So in terms of Hilchas guilt, in other words, she's very guilty. Well, he's very guilty. You know, he thought he was eating a piece of nevela. But with Maisa, there was no Maisa Vera because what he ate was heter. So what I'm trying to point out here in this whole discussion is that the criterion for a carbon are not necessarily intuitively natural or comfortable. They work with their own rules and regulations. You could have someone who seems to be pretty guilty and yet they don't have to bring a carbon, and someone who seems to be totally guiltless and yet they do have to bring a carbon. So Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, if they want to say that a Tinok Shenishba against Rav and Shmuel does not have to bring a carbon, they have to prove that with a pasuk. Why? Because V'lanarol osase dover is not going to be your criterion for a chiyuv karbon. We're not going to say that if there's no element of guilt, that that's called an ones, and there's no karbon for an ones. And therefore, logically, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are correct. Well, the Tinok Shenishba is not guilty at all. But what about the case of a woman who got a heter bezdin to get married? She's not guilty at all, yet she brings a carbon. The answer is there are other criteria that kick in. And that is there a maisa vera? And here we differentiate between v'lanarlo sasadova. She's not guilty of implementing any maisa vera. She was totally passive. She was totally victimized. As opposed to the case of a woman who got married with her own decision, albeit with no fault of her own. But that b'asei shesish has some sort of an impact, because it was a maisa avera. In the case of someone who, unbeknown to them, was not violating a maisa avera, either because the baal was made for her neder and she didn't know about it, or there was a shochet mitlanga bod and peis who shechted this animal, and this person thought he was getting a good piece of trefa meat. In this case, there was no maisa avera, because it turns out that what he ate was kosher. Or what she violated was not a violation of a neder. There was no neder. You know, imagine, before we go on, this is a case of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Wild. It's a woman, a married woman, who is alone with another man, and unbeknown to her, there was another door to this place that opened up into a public area. She didn't know that. She thought that when they locked the door behind them, they were in a private place, and it didn't bother her. It turned out that it was what's called Pesach Pasuch L'Rishus HaRab. So Rav Shlomo Zalman vacillates on this issue. Does she need a kapara? Because in her mind, she violated an Issur Yichud. But a Maisa, she didn't do a Maisa Yichud because it was an open door that she wasn't aware of. And if I'm not mistaken, Reb Shlomo Zalman compares that to the case of a woman who thinks that she's violating an Avera of a Neder, whereas unbeknown to her, there was no Neder because her husband was made for the Neder. So in those cases, you need a Slicha and a kapara because of your intention to violate an avera, but it doesn't reach the level of a chiv kapara like a karbon, because there was never a mais avera at all, like the case that we mentioned. He thought he was eating nevela, but he ate kosher meat. Meisve, let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish from a braisa. Klal gadol amru b'shabes kol ha-shocheach ikar shabes v'asa melachas harbe b'shabosas harbe Eino chayav elo chatos achas. So we're talking about now a shocheach ikar Shabbos, which exactly parallels the first case in our Mishnah. And the Braisa asks, Ketzad, what is this case of Shokheach Iker Shabbos, and he has to bring one Chatos, is Tinok Shadishma Ben HaNochrim, V'Gershon is Gair Ben HaNochrim. Is V'Oso Molochas Harbe, V'Shabosas Harbe, V'Yenon Chai V'Lachatos Achas. So this price is about as explicit like Rav and Shmuel as you can get. And the premise of this Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, with all due respect, they cannot contradict a Braisa, because the Braisa is Tanoim. Then the Braisa continues, it says, V'chayav al hadam achas. So this Tinok Shanishba was a lover of dam, and nevertheless, no matter how many times he violates this Isur of Dam, Achilas Dam, which is Mechayev a Chatas because it's a Chiv Karis, he only has to bring one Chatas for all the different violations of Dam, the Alachelev, which is also a Chiv Karis with a Chiv Karbon, Achas, the Avonizora, Achas. So we see that the Braisa holds that even someone who never ever knew about the entities of these various Isurim, Atinik Shanishpa, nevertheless has to bring one Chatas. Now the Braisa continues and presents two other Shitos in the Tanoi. Mudbaz, Poter. Mudbaz says in all those cases that the Tanakama says, Yechayev Eichatas, Yopotur. Vekachaya Mudbaz, done. Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, he was a Talmud Rabbi Akiva, and he said, Hoil, since this person did an Avera, in a case of Mezid, he's Kari Chote. If a person violates an Avera Bishogeg, he's also called a Chote. And we'll see that an Avera Bishogeg is called a Chet. And this is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Dalid, Nefesh ki techta bishkaga. Is ma mezit shahoysa lo yudia, af shogeg shahoysa lo yudia. The Torah is comparing mezit and shogeg in one breath, classifying both of them as a chote, as a chet. And there's got to be some sort of common denominator between mezid and shogeg, and the very barest minimum that we can require is that there be what we call yadia, some sort of a yadia. But in the case of a tinok shenishba, there's no yadia whatsoever, and therefore they're not considered chotim. And the Torah says nefesh ki techta bishkaga, he has to bring a chatos. Now again, I'm not sure if Mudbaz is asking the same question that we were asking. How could Rav and Shmuel, or the Tanakhama, this Bryce, how can he maintain? They maintain that there's a Chiv Karbon for the case of a Tinok Shenishba. There's no Avera at all. It's Ones. But I have a feeling that what Mudbaz is saying is something much more profound. He's not applying the halacha of ones, because he holds that in the case of a tinok shenishba, that's not called an ones. An ones is the case of v'lanarol osase dovar, an action that was done with awareness of the action, even if you're not aware of the chet, that is considered. That's considered a Maisa Avera. It's not like the case of what? Of Lanaro Lo Sase Dobar. Narvos, we have a Hekesh. The Torah says that who has to bring a Karbon? It's a Shogeg. And the Torah describes that Shogeg as a Chote, Nefesh Ki Techta Bishkaga. And the word Chote means someone who has a Yedias Havera. And there's a certain element of negligence here, of guilt. That excludes the case of a Tinok Shenishba. So it's not the exclusion of Tinok Shenishba based on the Svar of Lanar Lo Sase Dor of Ones, not at all. because as we said before, the criterion of a chiv karbon are totally different. And it doesn't depend upon onus. It depends upon whether there's a maisa avera. And here there was a maisa avera. Says Mudbas, this is a separate poter from karbon in a case of someone who's not a chote, and your paradigm chote is the mezid, which means there was a yediyah. And Tinok Shenishpa doesn't have a yediyah. So don't exclude, according to Mudbas, the Tinok Shenishpa from a karbon chatos based on an equation to Velanaral Osase Davar, but rather based on this, we'll call it Xerah Shav of Chote Chote, that who's considered a Chote? We're going to derive Shogeg from Mezid, and you need a Yediyah. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Hareini Mosif al Dvarecha. In other words, in addition to deriving Shogeg from Mezid based on the equation of Chote, I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to add something to what you said. Hima Mezid Shahoisa Yediyah B'Shas Maisa is Afshog Shahoisalo Yediyah B'Shas Maisa. In other words, I'm going to add, based on your equation of Chet Chet from Shogeg to Mezid, let's go even a step further. Well, if you want a Mezid Chote, that Chet of a Mezid is that he has a Yediyah now, when he does the Maisa. Are we going to say, therefore, by virtue of this equation, Chet Chet, that in the case of a Shogeg, his Chet is also conditional on the fact that he had a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa? I mean, that's impossible, because we know that a Shogeg has no Yediyah B'Shas Maisa. I mean, if he had a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, he would be amazing. So it means we cannot accept any sort of an equation between Shogeg and Mezid. Omar lo. So Mudbas responds to his Rebbe, Hein, V'kolshken Shahosafta. So what is going on over here? Hein, V'kolshken Shahosafta. And he says the following, that your question, Rabbi Akiva, is really a support to my statement. In other words, the Chiv Chatos requires a Yediyah B'Shas Chet. That's exactly, as you pointed out, within the purview of this equation of Chet Chet between Shogeg and Mezid. And you must have a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa. Because just like in Mezid you need a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, so too in Shogeg you need a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa. So what is that Yediyah B'Shas Maisa? Yediyah B'Shas Maisa means you know that this is forbidden. Why are you a Shogeg? Because you forgot. But you definitely knew, even B'Shas Maisa, you had that Yediyah. We call it a latent awareness or a knowledge of this Isur. Now you forgot. Or you didn't realize that this was Asur, that this was a piece of Chalev. As opposed to the case of a Tinok Shenishba, he doesn't know at all. He never had a Yediyah Savera. Certainly not B'Shas Maisa. Amalo, Sir Akiva says, back to Mudbas, Lidvarecha, that in order to be Chayva Chatos, you need a Yediyah B'Shas Chet, B'Shas Maisa, is then Ein Zeh Kari Shogeg, El Mezid. So let me read to you a summary of Tosus at the bottom of the Amud, and maybe we'll get a chance to learn the Tosus inside. In Mudbas said to Rabbi Akiva, Hein v'kolshken shahosafta, that this is a, your kash is really a support to my position. So he says, u'mikomakom gam im yodas ha'isur, v'achkach shochacho, chayav chatos. Shalobah hadrasha. Drasha means the equation chayt chayt. Lahotzias amila shkaga mipshuta. Shakavana lemisha hayashogeg b'shas maisa. Elagak lahosif. Sha'afim yoda b'shas maisa chayav chatos. So it sounds like what Tosis is saying, I'll just say the words at least, that Munbas holds that if you have a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, Yechayv Chatos, and if you don't have a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, you're a Shogeg Yechayv Chatos. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, wait a minute, it can't be that if he has a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, he's Chayv Chatos, because if he has a Yediyah B'Shas Maisa, he's amazing. But what was the Havamina here of Munbas? So we're a little bit pressed for time, so what I want to do is get to the two dots, so that we can end the week, you know, with a complete sugya. And we're going to leave this question on the side for a moment. How could Munbas say that you had a Yediyah V'Shas Maisa, but you're still a Shogeg? And Yechayev Achatos. L'chor that Rabbi Akiva is right. That should be amazing. So the Gemara now gets back to the question that we originally asked. The Bnei HaYeshiva wanted to ask Akasha Meisvei from this long, long brisa on Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Ketani Mias, it says in this brisa, Ketzad. When do we apply the principle of Shokheach Iker Shabbos? And he only has to bring one Chatos. It says, Tinok Shenishba. Is Bishleim l'Rabbi Shmuel who hold that a tinok shenishbas chayav achatos nicha el Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? They hold that tinok shenishba doesn't have to bring a chatos kasha. Amri loch Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish lo mi ika munbas depotar anam rinon kim munbas. Now normally we have a principle of Yachid v'rabim halacha kirabim. So if there's a brisa that records a machlokes between the Chachamim and Munbas, we would have to paskin like the Chachamim. Here Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree. They admit that the Chachamim here accepted the principle of Rav and Shmuel. And the only way that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish could salvage themselves and square off with the Tanoim the Brisa is by assuming that they hold like Munbas. So that's very interesting. How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would accept the Shita of Munbas? He's a Das Yochid. And moreover, it's a little bit more difficult when you consider that Rabbi Akiva himself rejected Munbas, because the whole sheet of Munbas with regard to Tinek Shenishba was predicated on the equation between Shogeg and Mezen. And Rabbi Akiva pointed out that equation is impossible. So what is this business here of Anan Sviralon Kim Munbas? Apparently Munbas, despite the kash of the onslaught of Rabbi Kivi, still insisted that he's right. But what was his defense against Rabbi Kivi's argument? And why should Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you know, stand on the shoulders of Munbas? So I think that the answer to that question lies in the next piece of Gemara, which we're not going to get to today, unfortunately. And the Gemara proves that Munbas is right based on a drasha, which means that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are not going to just say, well, let's equate Shogeg and Mezid, and then we'll come to the conclusion that a Tinok Shenishba fits not only is he not a Mezid, he's not even a Shogeg. But rather, we're going to derive the p'tur of Tinok Shenishba from a special Yalfusa. And that's going to be the Gemara's defense and presentation to explain Munbas. And I think once we see that demonstration, that drasha, a Yelfusa from which Munbaz derived the conclusion that a Tinok Shenishba, who never had a Yediyah, is potter from a Karbon, then we'll go back and try to figure out why Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish accepted the Shita of Munbaz. And then we have another question. In the Braisa, Munbaz based his Shita on an equation between Mazin and Shogeg to exclude Tinok Shenishba, and Rabbi Akiva seems to have upslugged that equation. How could it be that Munbaz would say that even in a case of Yediyah, he's still a Shogeg? How is he a Shogeg?
I just want to read one line in the Tosis, Diva Maska Kol Shkein Shol Safta. He says, "Can appear shakunshus the af bazu," which means in the case where he has the idea of b'shas ma'isim mechayev munbas chatos, because of the hekesh between shogeg and mezid. That doesn't mean that in a case where he doesn't have the idea that he's not chayev as a shogeg. Certainly, if he doesn't have the idea b'shas ma'isim, he's chayev as a shogeg. There was a havamina to say that he's only chayav achatos when he has the yediyah b'shas ma'isa, but there's going to be a chiddush here that even if he doesn't have yediyah b'shas ma'isa, he's considered a shogeg. But there's no question here that if he has the yediyah b'shas ma'isa, he's chayav. And that's based on the hekesh between shogeg and mezid. The question here is, if he had a yediyah b'shas ma'isa, how is that different than a mezid mamish? That's where we have to answer that question, Ritz Hashem, in the next year. So we'll stop here.